بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين أما بعد So we begin this evening's lesson studying the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the verse in which He has commanded the believers to save themselves and to save their families from the blazing fire, from the fire which is fueled by men and stones, meaning by people, individuals, and by stones. Allah, He mentioned in this verse that fire, it is guarded and protected by angels, and that they are harsh and severe and stern, and they do not show mercy for the disbelievers. And they do not hesitate to execute the command of their Lord whenever they are commanded. And Allah has given them full ability to do what He has ordered them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and He has mentioned in His book, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون Allah, He addresses the believers بإسم الإيمان with the name of faith, calling them by their faith. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families. Protect yourself and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones. And there are angels that are appointed stern and severe over this fire, and they do not disobey their Lord from executing His commands. And they do exactly as they have been commanded. And they do exactly as they have been commanded. And we are well aware of the title of tonight's lecture, and that is that it is directed specifically to the parents and the guardians, those who have charge and those who have authority, those who have others underneath their care and supervision, for them to save their children and those who are under their care from the fires fueled as men and stones. But before we discuss directly the main issue and the topic, first we will ponder over these verses, seeking guidance from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ponder over the words of our Lord, seeking to understand them properly and to benefit from them. And this is the way that a believer, he will live in his life. He will read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he will strive to understand them. He will strive to understand them according to the usul and the principles of the deen, according to the fundamentals and the foundations of al-Iman. In this manner, a believer, he can benefit from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi-idhnihi tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we must keep in mind likewise that this is the way that the Prophet, he taught his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiyallahu anhum. And that famous narration from Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, that he would say that they would learn 10 verses. وَلَمْ نُجَاوِزْهُنَّ حَتَّى تَعْلَمْنَا مَا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْعَمَلِ And we would not go past them. We would not go past them until we learned that which is in them, or what they consist of, from knowledge and from application. From knowledge and from application. To learn the Qur'an in this manner and to apply it, this is the means of saving oneself and one's family from from the blazing fire and from the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is the manner that one will cultivate himself first and foremost, and then likewise his family, following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this has been witnessed from more than one of his companions radiyallahu anhum, and has been narrated from Jundub ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu that he said, "Kunna ma'a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa nahnu fityan hazawira," that we used to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam whenever we were young boys, hazawira, meaning before puberty. These are children that were around the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and before they were puberty, they would learn from him. They would learn from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but how would they learn? He said, radiyallahu anhu, فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْإِيمَانَ قَابَلَ أَن نَتَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ, that we learned al-Iman, we learned faith, we learned the correct belief, we learned the Tawheed of our Lord. That's the meaning. We learned al-Iman first, before we learned the Qur'an. They learned the fundamentals of faith and the pillars of al-Iman. They learned the conditions of the statement La ilaha illallah and what that requires and necessitates. Before that, they learn what it means properly. They know the meaning Anna Muhammad Rasulullah. They learn these things first. They learn faith first. They have a foundation before they learn the Quran. ثُمَّ تَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنَ فَازْدَدْنَا بِهِ إِيمَانًا. And then after that, he said radiyallahu anhu, that we learned the Quran and then we increased in faith. So it is upon a believer first and foremost to learn the way of the companions in learning, to learn the way of a salaf as-salih and seeking knowledge and obtaining knowledge and understanding the Quran. The Quran, it has light and guidance for the believers. And the one who reads it and ponders over it, he will find much benefit and khayr. And he will change his life and purify his soul and rectify his heart, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But that is for the one who is able to ponder. The one who does not know the usul of Iman. He does not know the reality of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla as they have been clarified in the book and in the sunnah. The principles, the foundations of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how to believe in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how to believe in the angels and the books and the likes. Learning these fundamentals and the belief in the hereafter and the issues with regards to the decree. The one who does not know these affairs in detail, he will not be able to ponder. He will not be able to reflect. But the one who learns the pillars of al-Iman first and foremost, and the issues regarded to these affairs, these will be keys for him that will unlock, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, his understanding, and he will be able to comprehend, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ponder over this verse, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a beautiful intention, to purify our hearts, and to make the Qur'an a proof for us, and a guidance for our hearts and our families. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to open our hearts to the truth, and to allow us to see the truth clearly, and to apply it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He began by saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, addressing the people of faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His book, He has made more than one nida', and He has called the people in general in certain verses. And sometimes He will call the people of the book and call on them and address them specifically. The people, the Jews and the Christians and the nations before us. And likewise, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will address the disbelievers specifically in His book and call them. And other times He will address the believers. Like we see in this verse. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who believe. This is from the greatest honor, to be called in this manner, that our Lord, He will make us from the people of faith, and then He will send revelation and call on us in this manner. He's speaking to the believers. This is a call to every believer, every Muslim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you have believed. O you have faith. O you who believe. It has been narrated likewise from Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that he mentioned about the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا سَمِعْتَ اللَّهَ يَكُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. If you ever hear the statement of Allah, or if you hear Allah saying, O you who believe, فَأَرْعِهَا سَمْعَكَ, then listen attentively. Then listen attentively, and pay attention. Whenever we read these verses like this, they don't go past us without contemplation, without thinking, without trying to understand and comprehend, especially whenever we are being addressed specifically. Like this, Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he advised, فَأَرْعِيَهَا سَمَكَ,
Listen attentively. فَإِنَّهُ خَيْرٌ يَأْمُرُ بِهِ أَوْ شَرٌ يَنْهَى عَنْهُ. Because it will either be some good that he is commanding, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or there will be some evil that he is prohibiting. Allah Azza wa Jal, he addressed the believers in his name, in the name of faith. O you who believe, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. This, every Muslim is included in this. And it is well known that the believers, they are not all one level. But rather, some of them, they are at the highest ranks in perfection of faith by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. And others, they are lesser than that and lesser than that. And the believers, their status is in their ranks and their faith likewise, it fluctuates and it varies. And based upon that will be their nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the portion of His mercy that they obtain and their security from the fire. The reality of al-Iman is a great reality. A believer has to show concern for his faith, and that begins by learning it properly. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blessed someone to be from the people of Iman, and He guided them the general guidance to understand the truth of al-Islam, and to accept the faith and enter into the fold of al-Islam and become a Muslim, after that he has to be concerned about his faith. He has to be concerned about his deen, and this means that he will learn it. And he will learn it in details, and he will learn the fundamentals and foundations of the deen so that he can apply that. So that he can apply that. This is if his faith is sincere. He will strive to know that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that he can do it. And that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that he can stay away from it. This is why he has entered into the fold, and this is why he has submitted. So therefore, it's very important to understand the reality of this faith. The faith is the greatest blessing. The greatest blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Iman. And here he is addressing the believers specifically. All you who believe. All you who believe. The reality of al-Iman, may Allah bless you, my noble brothers and sisters, is that it fluctuates. يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُسُ. It increases and it decreases. يَزِيدُ بِطَاعَةِ الرَّحْمَنِ. It increases with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَنْقُسُ بِطَاعَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And it decreases. It decreases with obedience to shaitan. It decreases with disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it increases with obedience to Him. And a person's safety and security from the fire is according to his iman. The one who has strong faith and his iman and his deen is upright, then this is a shield and a guard for him by the permission of Allah from the fire and from the anger of Allah. His iman, his faith is the shield and his taqwa that will protect him. It will protect him from the anger of Allah. And likewise, if that iman is deficient, then accordingly the fire will touch him, and the punishment will reach him, and the anger of Allah will befall him accordingly, according to the weakness of his faith. So therefore, a believer has to be very concerned about his faith and the faith of those who are under his care. In this manner, one can save himself from the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has likened the faith and the iman to a tree in the heart of a believer. The tree in the land that is strong and has a strong foundation, and it has been given the proper provision and proper care, it will be beneficial, it will be strong, and it will have branches in the sky, and it will give its fruit and benefit it every time by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is likewise like the faith in the heart of a believer. It's like this. If it is strong, if it is strong in the heart, then it will produce great and beautiful actions, beneficial conduct and manners. It will have the best creed and faith. And likewise, it will be a means of protection for him. It will be a means of protection for him from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer has to be concerned with his faith. A believer has to be concerned with his faith to make sure that it's correct. Make sure that he knows the proper aqidah. Make sure that he knows the proper deen. Make sure he knows the reality of a tawheed. And this also includes learning the ways of shirk and innovation in order to stay away from that. In order to stay away from that entirely. Al-Iman, it has foundations. And its greatest foundation is al-Imanu billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in Allah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is calling on the believers. There are those who believe in Allah. And they believe in what Allah has commanded them to believe in. They believe in Allah and they believe in His angels. And they believe in His books and they believe in His messengers. They believe that the Quran is the final revelation and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's the seal of all prophets. And they testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And they bear witness that everything that is worshipped besides Allah is falsehood and not worthy of worship. And that every way besides the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is falsehood. And it is not upright and is not correct. And that the only way to the mercy of Allah is to worship Him alone with no partners, according to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These are the people who believe. These are the people who are upright. They understand their deen in this manner. And they follow the way of a salaf as-salih. Likewise, they believe in the last day. And they believe in the resurrection and the events that occur at the time of death and after death all the way to the day of resurrection. And they believe in the Jannah and they believe in the Nar. They believe in the Jannah and they believe in the Nar. They believe in the paradise that has inside it nothing that an eye has ever saw, or that an ear has ever heard, or has even crossed the mind of a human being. They believe in that. They hope for that and they desire that. And they work for that. And they believe in the fire. And they believe that it's a place that is hideous and that there is torture and punishment and there is agony and pain and regret going on in there and that it's very scary. They believe in these affairs and they believe in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. It's very important to show concern for the iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will guide you by way of your iman. Yahdihim rabbuhum bi imanihim. By way of their iman. If your iman is strong, you will be guided to a straight path. If your iman is deficient, it will be accordingly. A believer has to be concerned first and foremost and know that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا نَفْسٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ. That no one will enter paradise except for a believing soul. In one narration, إِلَّا نَفْسٌ مُسْلِمَةٌ, except for a Muslim soul. So therefore, iman is the most important affair to be concerned with. It takes precedence over every issue. In the dunya, nothing comes first. The most important affair for a believer, for himself first and foremost, and then for those likewise under his care is his deen, his religion, his Islam and his iman, the methodology that he's upon, his salafiyya. His obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first over everything, even his own desires. The fact that he holds fast to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it comes first even to his own desires, or the desires of his wife, or his son, or his daughter, or those who he respects. Rather, this is the number one thing, al-shahada. Al-shahada wa al-tawheed wa al-aqeeda sahiha salafiyya, this comes first. Ya ayyuha al-ladhina amanu. All you who believe, all you who believe. If we learn these usul in the manner that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught his companions, then we read the book. We will find light and we will find benefit and we will be able to ponder. And these foundations and these principles and this knowledge will be a means for our heart to come alive by the permission of Allah azza wa jal. If we ponder over this one verse, we see many of the usul of iman are even mentioned in this one verse. O you who believe. First and foremost, believing in Allah. But this, even here, this call includes all of the pillars of faith. Because no one is a true believer and can be considered from the people of iman until he believes in the fundamentals of iman. All of them. All of them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls them and He says to them, قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourselves and your families from a fire. And this right here is الْإِيمَانُ بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Believing in the hereafter. This is the foundation and the fundamental of al-Iman. If we ponder over this and if we have studied the affairs of al-Iman, we will remember this. And we will know that this is from the affairs of the hereafter and that begins at the time of death. Al-Yawm al-Akhir, fi haqqi kulli wahidin minna yabda'u 'inda mawtihi. The day, the last day, the final day, the day of resurrection, it begins with regards to every single one of us whenever we die. At the time of death, we leave this life and the hereafter starts for us. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. This is belief in the hereafter. A believer, he believes in the hereafter. Allah is calling those who believe in the hereafter. Save yourself from a fire. Save yourself and your families from a fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions some details about that fire likewise. The Quran, the Sunnah, it comes with detail for the life of the human being and this life in the hereafter. Details. Details. The fuel of this fire, it is men. حطب النار, حطب جهنم, nas. people, والحجارة, and stones, and the asnam, and the idols. The people will be the fuel for the fire. It will not be kindled from trees and sticks, but rather they will be people, bodies. They will be ignited, and the fire will be ablaze by way of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about that fire, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. It's been prepared specifically for those who disbelieve in Him. But likewise, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has informed us that there will be Muslims who fall in there. That there will be Muslims who go in there. That there will be Muslims who will fall into the fire because of their sins and the deficiency in their iman. And the deficiency in their shahada and in their faith. But our Lord, giving us sincere advice, He's commanding us to save ourselves before that comes. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ and our families وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this, He mentions عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ, that there are angels that are guarding this hellfire. The people that go there, they can't escape. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنْهَا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ. They will have a punishment. They will want to leave, but they cannot leave. There are guardians, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has appointed. And it's been mentioned that they are az-zabaniya. And it's mentioned that they are stern. And that they are harsh. And that the mercy for those who disbelieve has been stripped from their hearts. عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد. غلاظ شداد. That they are severe. And in the manner that they look, likewise, is terrifying and hideous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created them in a manner that is frightful and scary. And likewise, the way that they deal with those people is harshness. غلاظ. Allahu Akbar. Allah is warning us. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He has come as a warner. And He has warned the people from the fire. And He has made an example likewise, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of Him and us. And of Him and His ummah. And He mentioned that the comparison between Him and us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is like those moths and those bugs that fly into the fire. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like that man who's trying to wave them away from the fire, but they resist and they dive headfirst into the fire. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's trying to grab us. He's trying to grab us from our waist to stop us from going to the fire, but we resist and we jump in the fire. Many people, they're on their way to the fire. If they were to die today, maybe some of us will go to the anger of Allah because of our actions and because of our deeds, because of our situation and our condition. A believer, he believes in the Day of Judgment. He believes in the meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has to be in the first of the mind of the believer. He cannot be heedless about these affairs. Allah, He created us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us in the womb of women. And He provided for us and we came out. And this is from the greatest signs of His majesty and His magnificence, and that He is able to do all things and that He's worthy of worship. Look at yourself, my noble brothers and sisters. Look at yourself, where did you come from? You came from that fluid that is known. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us and we're going back to Him. And He has sent a messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He has made us from His ummah. And He has made us from His ummah. Should we not show thanks and follow Him? Should we not show thanks and obey Him? In this manner we can save ourselves. In this manner we can save ourselves from a fire whose fuel is men and stones. So we see that likewise in this noble verse there is the mention of the angels and some details with regards to them. A believer, he believes in angels. A believer, a Muslim, he believes in angels. From the angels that we believe in, are these angels here as Zabaniya, Shidadun Ghilav, and that they are the caretakers of the hellfire. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time it's been narrated authentically that he asked Jibreel, alayhi salatu wa sallam, he asked Jibreel, how come Mikael is not smiling? How come I don't see Mikael, the angel, smiling? مَالِ لَأَرَى مِكَعِيلَ ضَحِكًا قَطْ. Why have I never seen Mikael smiling ever, or laughing ever? Jibreel alayhi salam, he informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَالَ مَا ضَحِكَ مِكَعِيلُ مُنْذُ خُلِقَ النَّارِ. مَا ضَحِكَ مِكَعِيلُ مُنْذُ خُلِقَةِ النَّارِ. That he has never laughed. Mikael, this great angel of Allah azza wa jal, he never ever laughed ever since the fire was created.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned many authentic narrations about the reality of the fire, and the people in the fire, and the punishments in the fire, and that there are snakes in the fire that are huge, and that there are likewise scorpions in the fire. There is a punishment in the fire that is not from this life. It's something that we cannot bear. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that the one who has the lightest punishment in the fire, his feet is in a fire up to his ankles, and his brains boil. And his brains boil because of this, because of the heat of the fire. We have to save ourselves. We have to take the effort to save ourselves and our families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones. These usul, these are the foundations of our life. This is the blessing of Allah upon us. قَدْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا بِهَذَا الْإِيمَانِ. This is the greatest blessing, that He has granted us this faith. This faith that has foundations, it has pillars that it is based upon. If they are strong in your heart, in the heart of a believer, then you will be upright and good by the permission of Allah. And you will have much good manners and much benefit in this life and the hereafter. But according to the weakness of those usul, likewise will be similarly the deficiency in your deen, and the deficiency in one's iman, in his faith. And accordingly, the punishment will reach him, and the bad affairs in this life and in the hereafter will occur to him accordingly. But a believer who has concern for his faith, he will have much good in this life. He will have much good in the hereafter. No one can save themselves from the fire except by knowing how. Like this, the people of knowledge, they used to mention, كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. How could someone fear something or be protected from something and stay away from something if he does not know what it is? To learn about these affairs, to learn about the hereafter, to learn about the angels, this is something that is very beneficial. This is something that the one who learns this and he remembers this, this will be a means for him to leave off disobedience. This is the means for him to leave off disobedience. Those who remember that they're going to meet Allah, those who remember that they're going to die and that they're going to be held accountable, this is from the greatest means for a believer to be upright and steadfast upon obedience. Rather, even whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions about the believers in the hereafter, the companions of the right hand and the people who are honored in the hereafter, He mentions about them. What do they say? They knew that they were going to have the reckoning. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَةً. I knew it. ظَنَنْتُ أَيْتِيَقَنْتُ. I knew that I was going to be held accountable. They knew that they were going to be held accountable. Because of this knowledge and this reality and this iman in their heart, they prepared for that day. They prepared for that day. They were living this life striving to save themselves from a fire. They were living this life striving to save their families from a fire. So what happened for them? فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. This type of individual, he was going to have a pleasant life in the hereafter. On the other hand, those people who did not pay attention to this issue, did not believe in the hereafter, or they neglected the reality of the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the means for their destruction. And Allah, He mentioned about them, those people who will be punished in the fire. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. They did not used to expect to be held accountable. They were not hoping for the reckoning. They were not expecting to be held accountable. Therefore, they did not prepare for that. But rather, Allah in this verse, He is commanding us, O you who believe, save yourselves from the fire. Save your families from the fire. This fire whose fuel is men and stones. In this verse, there is the reminder of these great principles, the principles of faith. Faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the meeting of Allah in the hereafter. Faith in the angels, the belief in the Jannah, the belief in the fire. All of this is from the greatest means for a believer to be safe. From the greatest means for a believer to be upright. Rather, there is no way to be upright except with these principles, except with this faith, except with al-Iman. So therefore, this is the number one affair that a believer, he must show concern for and give preference to over everything is his deen. And his deen is his deen and his Iman. Is the deen and the Iman. Likewise, from the usul and the foundations that we see in this noble verse is the great principle of the obligation of taking the means. That we know that we believe in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing happens except with His command. And that He knows who will be in the Jannah, and He has created people for His Jannah. And He knows who will be in the fire, and He has created people for the fire.
But as for us, then we do not know whether we are from the people of Jannah or from the people of the fire. But we hope that we will be from the people of Jannah, and we hope that we will not be from the people of the fire. But this is something that we don't know, but Allah, He knows. But Allah, He has set this life up to be a test for the people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has clarified that we have to take the means, just like Allah, He commands us in this verse, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ, and save yourselves, meaning take the means that will be a reason for you to be safe from the fire. So we have to take the means. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, كُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ, that every individual, it will be made easy for him and facilitated for him to do that which he was created for. The people of paradise, it will be made easy for them, and they will do the actions of paradise until they die in that manner, by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. We ask Allah for His grace and for His mercy. But likewise, the people of the hellfire, it will be facilitated for them, and they will have the desire to do these actions that are foul and evil and wicked until they die in that manner, and they will go to the fire because of that. فَكُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Therefore, we have to take the means to save ourselves first and foremost, and this is by learning and applying. This is by learning and applying, learning these usul, learning the deen, and knowing the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam clearly, and being upon insight with regards to that, and learning the ways that are contrary to that and the ways of falsehood, so that we can stay away from that. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would command his people and his family, and he would command them to save themselves from the fire. And he would gather them, and he would say, أَنْقِذُ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ. He would gather Quraysh, and he would gather the tribes, and he would mention to them one by one, save yourselves from the fire. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would call Abbas, and he would call his daughter, and he would call his relatives, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he would tell them, مَا لَا أُغْنِي عَنْكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. I'm not able to help you against Allah whatsoever. Meaning, if you do not believe, I will not have be any benefit with you. Even he mentioned, يَا فَاطِمَةُ بِنْتَ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم, سَدِينِي مَنْ مَا شِئْتِ مِنْ مَالِي لَا أُغْنِي عَنْكِ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. O Fatima bint Muhammad, and he calling his own daughter, صلى الله عليه وسلم, ask me from my wealth whatever you like, but with regards to Allah, I cannot save you whatsoever. Meaning that she has to take the means. She has to believe in these foundations and these principles. She has to believe in Allah and the angels, and in the books and the messengers and the last day and in the decree, and then apply that and comply to that and submit. And then she can be saved by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is what she did, radiallahu anha, of course. But this is the case to clarify the issue that we have to take the means. We have to save ourselves. We have to save ourselves. The means of protection from the fire, two issues. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came with. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came with. Al-ilmu al-nafi' wal-amalu al-salih. Beneficial knowledge, knowledge clarifying the way to reach the paradise, and the knowledge clarifying the ways that lead to destruction and to the hellfire, and likewise, the application of that, and how to live upon that, and how to apply that, and how to be upon that and comply to that. This is the religion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's a religion of knowledge. In order to save ourselves, we have to have sincere faith, al-iman al-sadiq. And that faith has to be complied, has to be applied, and we have to comply to what it necessitates. Al-amal al-sadiq, al-iman al-sadiq wal-amal al-sadiq. This is the means for success. This is the means for success. I mention this to you, my noble brothers and sisters, to remind ourselves that we want to save our families. But first we have to save ourselves. In this manner, we have to save ourselves. We have to learn our religion. We have to give great concern to learning the foundations and fundamentals of faith. We have to learn how to believe in Allah properly. To believe in Him the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam believed in Him. To believe in Him the way that the companions, they believed in Him, radiallahu anhum. To be upon the deen that they were upon. To know the halal and the haram, and that which is permissible and impermissible from speech and action. And according to what they were upon. We have to give great concern to this, rather we have to give preference to this over every affair. In this manner, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we can save ourselves. And then after that, and not before, we will be able to be a means to save our families. After that, and not before, فَاقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. The one who has nothing, he can't give something. Or a person cannot give something he does not have. So therefore, the means to be safe from that punishment and from the fire is to have sincere, correct faith and righteous and good, acceptable actions, pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this requires knowledge. So therefore, we have to obtain that, and we have to seek that, and we have to get that, and stay upon that, and remain upon that our entire life. And this is from the permission of Allah, and from His grace and mercy. So therefore, we seek His help in doing that. But we take the means. We take the means and seek the help, and we seek the aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My noble brothers and sisters, these principles is something that the mother and the father, they have to agree upon. That the parents, in order for them to save their families, first they have to save themselves. They have to agree upon these fears. They have to come to the reality, and they have to understand, and they have to remember that there is a hellfire. That there is a hellfire, and that we have to save ourselves from it. That there is a paradise and the Jannah and the pleasure of our Lord, and we have to work for it. And the husband and the wife, they have to come to this conclusion in reality. They have to believe in this, and then connect together and work together and cooperate together to reach this goal. Many of the households, their goals are not in this manner. Many of the fathers and the wives, they do not see in this manner. And they do not set their goals together to cooperate to reach this goal. Every goal of a believer, every true believer, his goal is to reach the pleasure of Allah. وَرِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. And the pleasure of Allah is the greatest. The pleasure of Allah, it is in obedience to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to have this in our hearts and in our minds. This has to be our intention. If we're going to be successful in this life and the hereafter, we have to come to this agreement with our wife. And the wives have to come to agreement with their husbands. The people in the house, they have to have this agreement that everything we do in our home is supposed to be a means to help us reach the Jannah. Anything that's going to stop us from reaching the pleasure of Allah, we have to get it out of our houses. We have to get it out of our life. And we have to get it out of our life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned jasadun nabata ala suhtin fan naru awla bi. Al jasad alladhi nabata ala suht, the body that is raised upon haram, fan naru awla bi, the fire is more rightful for it. Many of us were bringing the fire into our homes. Many of us, we're a means not to save our families from the fire, but we're actually a means to draw them to the fire. And we have attached their hearts to deeds and to things that will lead them away from the pleasure of Allah. We have done this to our own homes. This lesson is for us to remember this. And if we have fallen into that, we have to repent from that. We have to leave that. We have to understand, and we have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make our goal the pleasure of Allah. Our goal is the pleasure of Allah. Everything that we want from this life, if you want to have a career, that career, it has to be in order to reach the pleasure of Allah. Many people, they want to have a career, or they have a job, or they have learned a degree, and that in reality is gaining them the anger of Allah. And their goals and their desires and hopes in this life is a means for them to earn the anger of Allah. Because they have proceeded without knowledge, and they have proceeded upon ignorance, and they have not thought deeply about this issue and remembered that this is a hellfire, and that there are angels guarding it, and that those who go in there, they do not show them mercy. قُوْ أَنفُسُكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. So therefore, the household has to have this foundation. Foundation of knowledge. The foundation of al-iman. Al-imanu billah. Al-imanu bimalaikatihi. Al-imanu bi kutubihi wa rusulihi. Al-imanu bil yawm al-akhir. الإيمان بالقدر خيره وشره. We have to have, this is the foundation of a believer, and every action that he makes and every decision that he decides is based upon these usul. These are what guide him in this life. يهديهم ربهم بإيمانهم. This is how he lives in this life, based upon tawheed, not upon what the Westerners like or what pop culture likes, not upon anything or even this sheikh or that, but rather according to evidences and proofs from the book of Allah and from the sunnah and from the understanding of a sahaba. This is something that we have to come to agreement with in our houses. We have to live this reality, or else we will never be successful. Sometimes the husband, he will want to do this, and the wife, she'll want to do that. Or they will differ, or they will act in a certain way, or they will take on a decision to get this, or to buy this property or that property, or to make these movements. But before they do all of this, they should ask each other, are these things pleasing to Allah? If a woman, she asks a certain way, she asks acts a certain way, the husband should ask her, are these actions pleasing to Allah? If a man, he acts a certain way, the wife, are these manners pleasing to Allah? Because this is the goal. The goal is to reach the pleasure of Allah. The pleasure of Allah is not obtained by false hopes. The pleasure of Allah is by learning what is pleasing to Him and following that. And what is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla is His legislation and His Islam, and this is what He is pleased with. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. That He's pleased with Al-Islam. The Islam of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions. So therefore, this is what we have to be upon. The only way to truly be safe from the fire should be upon what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were upon. In our homes, we have to agree upon this. We have to come to this reality. We have to make this our main goal. And everything that we do in life, the way that we get our money, the way that we live, the fun that we have, the toys that we buy, everything that we do has to be a means for us to reach the goal. And the goal is the pleasure of Allah. And the goal is the pleasure of Allah and His paradise and His Jannah and His mercy. And there is a means that reach that. It's called Al-Islam. Not Al-Islam. The Islam of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Radiallahu anhum. Radiallahu anhum. So with this brief introduction, this is what we have to come to agreement about. And I enforce that, and remind that, and emphasize that this is our goal. First, we have to save ourselves in this manner, that we want the pleasure of Allah, that we don't want to go to the hellfire. It's not talk, I'm going to take the means. We have to take the means. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. After this reminder, now we discuss the topic at hand. And this is saving the family. It's not possible to save the family until one, he saves himself. This is the first case, and this has proceeded. It's not possible to save another person except if you save yourself first. So therefore, this takes precedence. And this is the means, first and foremost, for a person to learn the deen and learn how to apply it properly. To learn that which is obligatory to know and to be upon that. If we were to do that, we will find much khair and goodness in our families and in our homes. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll find much goodness in our communities. If we learn that which is obligatory for us to learn, in creed and in belief, and also with regards to actions and conduct, if we learn these affairs, that's an obligation for us to know, then we will have goodness, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. After that, we can save our families. After that, we can work on saving our families, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Allah, He mentioned, وَقُوا أَنفُسُكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourselves and your families from a fire. Save yourselves and your families from the fire. To save the family, this is an obligation. And the family, it is an amana. And those who are under our care, we will be held responsible for them. Guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can guide the heart of a human being except for the creator of that heart, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as for us and those who have others under their care, then they will be held responsible. Not held responsible for actually guiding them, but for taking the means for their guidance, for directing them and advising them and helping them and doing what is necessary to protect them from misguidance. So we have to keep this in mind, that likewise from the traits of the people of paradise and those who are safe from the fire, that they fulfill their trust and that they keep their promise and that they fulfill their obligations and their duties. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَدِهِمْ رَعُونَ. It has been reported from Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. That all of you are guardians. All of you are a shepherd, and a guardian. And all of you are held accountable for those under your care. الْإِمَامُ رَاعٍ وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. The Imam, he is a guardian, he is held responsible, and he's the leader. He is held responsible for those under his care. وَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. And a man, he is a guardian with regards to his family, and he will be held responsible. He will be held responsible for those under his care. If we look here again, we see this is another asl. The reminder again of an asl, azim min usul al-iman. مَسْؤُولٌ وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. He is held responsible. He's going to be asked. Meaning on the day of resurrection. Meaning this is, here is again, Iman. Foundation of Iman. And that is al-Iman in the day of judgment and in the day of reckoning. And in the Yawm al-Akhir. And from that is al-Iman bil-Hisabi wal-Jaza. To believe in the reckoning and the accountability. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is mentioning to us and clarifying to us. He's warning us from this affair that a man, he is a guardian with regards to those in his house and in his household, and he will be held accountable. He will be asked in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about what he did and how he raised his children and what he allowed his wife to do. He's going to be asked about that. وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. When will he be asked? فِي يَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. فِي يَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. والمرأة راعية في بيت زوجها وهي مسؤولة عن رعيتها. And likewise, the woman, she also is a guardian in the house of her husband. And she also will be held accountable. She will be asked likewise about those under her care. On the day of resurrection, the believers, they will be held accountable. Those who have others under their care and authority, they will be held accountable for them. Did they take the means necessary? Did they fulfill their rights that Allah had given them and placed upon them? And the children, they have rights from the parents. Those who are under our authority and care, they have rights over us that Allah has given them that we have to fulfill for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Or else we'll be held accountable. Or else we'll be held accountable. Likewise, to emphasize the dangers of this issue. To emphasize the dangers of this issue, we have to save ourselves, Allah is commanding us, from the fire, and to save our families likewise. If we, some people they say, oh, I'll do what I can to obey Allah Azza wa Jalla, that's for my child, you know, it's on him. La, that's not permissible. Rather, this is also a means of earning the anger of Allah. And this can be the means for a person to go to the fire if he neglected the right of striving to take the effort and the means to save his family and those under his care. It has been narrated from Maqid ibn Yasar, رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, ما من عبد استرعاه الله رعية فلم يحطها بنصيحة إلا لم يجد رائحته رائحة الجنة. That there is no slave, there is no individual that Allah has given him authority over someone, and then he did not give them the proper advice, except that he will not find the scent of paradise. Except that he will not find the scent of paradise. Somebody who has someone under their authority, under their command, he's a guardian over them, and he does not give them the proper advice. He does not tell them that there's a hellfire that has angels that are stern and harsh guarding it. That if you do not act accordingly, you're going to go there. He did not advise him. He did not advise him with the belief in Allah. He did not clarify to him the usul of al-Iman. He did not mention to him and clarify to him the obligation of prayer. Like this, he did not fulfill that right. Then this person, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he will not find the scent of paradise. He will not find the scent of paradise. So to have someone under our authority or under our care, whether it's a wife or whether there are children or whether they're children of others, they're under our authority, it's incumbent upon us and an obligation for us to do our best to advise them. And that means that we show the most concern for their deen and we advise them in a manner that will clarify for them the truth, will clarify for them the correct way, will clarify for them the reality of this life, will clarify for them the statement, La ilaha illallah, and what it means, and what it requires and necessitates. We'll clarify for them the statement, Muhammad Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what it means, and what it requires. We will clarify for them the proper manner to pray. We'll clarify for them the proper manner to purify themselves. We have to teach them. We have to give them the proper advice. Those who do not do this, then this is a means for them to enter the fire. This is a means for them to enter the fire. This same hadith has been also narrated in Sahih Muslim. That wording is from Al-Bukhari. Also in Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَسْتَرْعِيهِ اللَّهُ رَعِيَّةً يَمُوتُ يَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَهُوَ غَاشٌ لِرَعِيَّتِهِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. That there is no slave that Allah will place under his authority. Someone will be placed under his authority and then he will die. The day that he dies and he is deceiving them and he did not give them the proper advice. He is deceiving them, and he's acting treacherously towards them. Except that Allah will make the paradise haram for him. Except that Allah will make the paradise haram for him. Many of the people, they think that tarbiyah and raising and cultivating and bringing up the child is only for the body. They will say, oh, I feed the child and provide him the best of food and the best of clothing and the best residence, and I buy the best vehicle for him. This is only one aspect of tarbiyah. But even more important than that, and what takes precedence before that, is the tarbiyah of the soul. That the soul, it has to be cultivated. That the soul, it has to be cultivated. The soul, it has to be purified. The soul, it has to be taught. A believer, he has to teach those who are under his care al-Islam. He has to teach them the beauty of al-Islam and the reality of it, Tawheed, and the fact that Allah, He is the only one who's worthy of worship. And likewise, it's incumbent upon every Muslim to teach those who are under his care that the ways of the Christian is falsehood, and that the ways of the Jews is falsehood, and that the ways of the Buddhist is falsehood, and that all of those religions are falsehood, and they do not lead to the pleasure of Allah. And that anybody who is on a way other than the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, radiallahu anhum, then they're upon falsehood. They're upon falsehood. In order to do this first, a believer, he has to be upon that, going back to the first issue. Going back to the first issue. But the point is that we have to raise the children upon al-Islam, the correct deen, the correct way. We have to teach them the fundamentals of faith. We have to teach them the belief in Allah, and this takes precedence. Teaching them the Tawheed and sitting with them and reminding them and making sure they understand. There must be time for this. There must be time for this. In order to do this, first and foremost, a believer, he has to learn. Many of the parents, and not just in our days, and not just in our community, but for generations, they have neglected this issue. And this has been the reason for the humiliation of the ummah. Because generation after generation, the believers have not fulfilled this obligation properly. They have not fulfilled this obligation properly. And this is the obligation of teaching the child and raising the child upon al-Islam and teaching him the obligations of the deen and forbidding him from that which is impermissible in the haram. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this issue. And he said, فَمَنْ أَحْمَلَ التَّعْلِيمَ وَلِدِهِ وَمَا يَنْفَعُهُ وَتَرَكَهُ سُدَى فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْهِ غَيَةَ الْإِسَاءَ. That whoever neglected teaching his child that which is beneficial for it and left him without any care or concern, then verily he has oppressed him and done the greatest injustice to him. فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْهِ غَيَةَ الْإِسَاءَ. And whether he fed him or he gave him property or he clothed him the best of clothing or bought him the best of vehicles, this is not the issue. The issue here is about teaching him. The issue here is about education and the proper upbringing so that he can live upon Iman, so that he can die upon Iman, so that he will know how to save himself from the fire. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَأَكْثَرُ الْأَوْلَادِ وَأَكْثَرُ الْأَوْلَادِ, the majority of the children. إِنَّمَا جَاءَ فَسَادُهُمْ مِنْ قِبَلِ الْأَبَاءِ, that their corruption has only come from their parents, from their fathers. وَإِحْمَالِهِمْ لَهُمْ وَتَرْكِ تَعْلِيمِهِمْ فَرَائِضَ الدِّينِ وَسُنَنَهُ. The majority of the corruption, any of the children, how were they corrupted? Ibn Qayyim, he mentions that the majority of the children, their corruption came from their fathers. That they neglected teaching them. And they did not teach them that which is obligatory for them to know in their deen. And they did not teach them likewise the sunan, the things that are recommended, and the deen. فَأَضَعُوهُمْ صِغَارًا فَلَمْ يَنْتَفِعُوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَمْ يَنْفَعُوا أَبَاءَهُمْ كِبَارًا. He said, so their parents or their fathers neglected them while they were young, and they did not benefit from them themselves. So because of this, they grew up and they did not benefit themselves. They don't know how to protect themselves from the fire. They don't know how to believe in Allah. Even some of them, they will grow up as Muslims, but their Islam is deficient. The Islam is weak. They pray, but they don't even know why they're praying or how to pray properly. Many of them, they have ignorance has overcome them in a great manner. Ayyadan billah. And this is why the smallest of shubha will affect them. And many of them have become to start to have doubt in the deen. And the likes like this. Because the parents did not bring them up properly. And did not raise them properly. So Ibn Qayyim, he mentions فَمَنْ عَاتَبَ, what has been mentioned about this, كَمَا عَاتَبَ بَعْضُهُمْ وَلَدَهُ عَلَى الْأَقُوكِ. Some of the previous people, they had tried to reprimand their child for disobeying them. فَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِي إِنَّكَ عَقَقْتَنِي صَغِيرًا فَأَقَقْتُكَ كَبِيرًا وَأَضَعْتَنِي وَلِيدًا فَأَضَعْتُكَ شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا. He said, oh my father, you had not given me my rights whenever I was a child, so I'm not giving your rights whenever you're old. And you neglected me whenever I was young, and so now I neglect you while you're an old man. So the point is, my noble brothers and sisters, that we have to give concern. In order to save them from the fire, we have to teach them how to be safe from the fire. We have to teach them the usul of al-Iman. We have to clarify to them the beauty of al-Islam. We have to clarify to them the correct faith and belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. We have to clarify to them in detail and remind them over and over and take every chance to teach them these affairs and to make the tawheed in their hearts firm. This is the most important issue, to teach them the aqidah sahiha and to make them understand in many different aspects, in many different ways, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. We have to make them understand the statement, La ilaha illallah. And we have to make them understand that everything that's worshipped besides Allah is falsehood. We have to do whatever we can to do that. And you have to be wise. You have to think and take advantage of different times, different situations, different circumstances. Not every time is time for a class. It doesn't mean that all the time you have to sit down and have a class. No, you have a class. Naam. But even whenever there's no class, you take advantage of the time. Sometimes whenever you're with your child and you're eating, for example, you can ask them, where did that chicken come from? Allahu Akbar. Why, does that taste good? That tastes good. The chicken tastes good. Allah, where did it come from? Did you know that used to be alive? This bone used to have life. Allahu Akbar. But now it tastes so good. Where did it come from? And he taking them back to tell, it came from Allah. Allah created it. It used to be alive. Where did it come from? It came from an egg. Allah, it was an egg. How did it become a chicken? Allah created it. Allah gave it shape. Al-Musawwir, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Magnify Allah. Glorify. You're eating with Him. You have a conversation with Him in this manner like this, reminding Him and yourself of the greatness of Allah. This is why, Ya Waladi, after we, or before we eat, we say Bismillah. This is why, Ya Waladi, after we say Alhamdulillah. Do you know if you say Alhamdulillah, the one who created that for you, he will be pleased with you? He will be pleased with you. So you take advantage of these issues and you raise him in this manner. But the most important affair, yani gharz at-tawheed fi qulub as-sighar, that we plant deeply in their hearts this truth, the truth of that tawheed, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. That there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. If not, then this is in reality neglecting them and a means for their destruction. And a means for their destruction. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this issue. He says, وَكَمْ مِمَّنْ أَشْقَى وَرَدَهُ وَفِلْ ذَتَ كَبِدِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. How many individuals he has caused his own child and a piece of his own flesh and his own liver, meaning a piece of his own body. His child, it came from you. Your child, it came from you. How many people have caused their own child to be miserable in this life and the hereafter? And he caused it to be a loser in this life and in the hereafter. بِإِهْمَادِهِ وَتَرْكِ تَأْدِيبِهِ. By neglecting it and not disciplining it. وَعِيَانَتِهِ لَهُ عَلَى شَهَوَاتِهِ. And by helping the child to fulfill its desires. How many parents today, they will go buy a toy for the child that has magic in it? How many parents today, they will let the child sit in front of a screen that has magicians and that has fairy tales and that has things that, wallahu a'lam, they're closer to being jinn and shayateen that are moving on the screen, and they have names and they have characters, and the child becomes in love with them and loves their lives and their manners and even acts like them and imitate them. All of this in reality is a means of neglecting the child and a means of causing the child to be from the people of the fire. If it's grown up upon this way, how could it ever have true sincere faith? Many of these cartoons, they're contrary to a tawheed, rather they're shirk. And they have characters of shirk and they're committing shirk clearly. Likewise, the video games. Many of the video games that we buy for our children, we'll take them our money and buy it for them and give it to them. It has shirk in it. It has clear shirk in it. They have video games where they'll be fighting and then a person can't go to the next level except if he worships a stone or a tree. And he has to go there in order to pass the level. And if these things, a believer has to be aware of these things. قُوْ أَنفُسُكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. You have to save yourself and your family. Many people, like Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's the cause for the misery of his child. He's the cause for the misguidance of his child. Instead of being a key for khair, for his family, he's the key for shar. And instead of being a lock for evil for his family, he is the one who opened the door of evil and wickedness for his own family. Because of ignorance. Because of ignorance himself. Because he was neglected himself. But this has to come to an end. A believer, he has to remember these affairs and repent. Save yourself. Whatever happened before, that's easy to fix. Repent from that, alhamdulillah. Sincerely, repent from that and then learn. And leave ignorance and learn. Learn the proper way. Sit in the classes. Sit in the classes with the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge and learn the deen properly and apply it properly. Be upon clarity in your deen. All of that can be removed easily, alhamdulillah. As for the one who hears these advices and then continues to be upon the ways of falsehood and doesn't care about his ignorance and prefers ignorance over learning, then this one, like, how could he save himself? How could he save himself? Ibn Qayyim, he says about this individual, وَيَزْعُمُ أَنَّهُ يُكْرِمُهُ وَقَدْ أَهَانَهُ. He's claiming that he's honoring his child, but really he has humiliated him. وَأَنَّهُ يَرْحَمُهُ وَقَدْ ظَلَمَهُ وَحَرَّمَهُ. And he's claiming that he's having mercy on his child, but in reality, he is oppressing the child. وَفَاتَهُ انْتِفَاعُهُ بِوَلَدِهِ وَفَوَّتَ عَلَيْهِ حَظَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He's not able to benefit from his child. His child will not be obedient to him or beneficial for him. He can't even be beneficial for himself because he was not cultivated and brought up upon it, tawheed. He was not cultivated and taught how to love Allah Azza wa Jalla and show preference for his commandments, to love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and show preference to his sunnah. He was not taught how to follow that way. And many of the times it's because that parent himself did not learn that way. Did not learn that way. Ibn Qayyim, he says, وَإِذَا اعْتَبَرْتَ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَوْلَادِ رَأَيْتَ عَامَّتَهُ مِنْ قِبْرِ الْأَبَى. That if you were to ponder and think about the corruption of the majority of the children, you will find that the majority of that comes from their parents, comes from their father, comes from their father. We have to save ourselves and save our families. We have to save ourselves and save our families. We have to learn what is permissible. We have to learn what is allowed. If we're going to purchase something for our children, some people, they'll purchase clothing that has haram faces on it and images on it. They'll purchase clothing that's not permissible nor allowed. They'll dress their child or allow their child, whatever, after the child becomes of a certain age, no doubt. It's hard to control them at that time, but before that, one has to raise them to the best of one's ability and teach them so that it will have the keys of success. That it will have, at least that the parent has done all that it can do to free itself from blame in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, he says, قُوْ أَنفُسُكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourself and your families from a fire. It has been narrated from Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu that he mentioned about this. And to save your family, how does it mean to save your family? أَدِّبُوهُمْ وَعَلِّمُوهُمْ. To discipline them and to teach them. To discipline them and to teach them. If we read the narrations of the Salaf with regards to this noble verse, we will see that they're in agreements with this affair. To teach them and to discipline them. And to teach them and to show them the right way. To teach them and to show them the Tawheed and the Sunnah and the correct Islam. The Islam of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiyallahu anhum. And to teach them that. And what better way to teach them that is that whatever they see what we're teaching them coming from us in our actions. Whenever we teach them, they see what we teach them coming from us in our actions. Al-Qudwa al-Hasana. This is from the best way. You teach them the proper way and then they see that coming from you, they follow bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But whenever, even if we took the time to teach them and then we don't apply it ourselves, then this is going to be like contradiction for them. And no one is going to accept from people who do not apply what they say. So likewise in the home, we have to learn the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have to learn the proper way and apply it ourselves first. The knowledge that we learn, the place that we have to strive to apply it first and foremost is in our homes. Even some of us, we learn the knowledge, alhamdulillah. And we apply it outside in the world and in the street. But whenever we come home, we have rude manners. We have the good manners of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam outside. But when we come inside, we have rude manners with our wives or with our children, or the likes like this, or the wives with their husband. But rather, in the house is the first place to apply the sunnah. The first place to apply the sunnah. that is in the home with the family, they have the most right for your khair. They have the most right for your goodness. Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma, he mentioned about this verse, save your families. He said, save yourself and your families. اعملوا بطاعة الله. First, you yourself, you work in the obedience of Allah. Meaning you have to learn that and then apply that. وَاتَّقُوا مَعَاصِيَ اللَّهِ, and fear and stay away from the disobedience of Allah. In order to save yourself first and foremost from the fire, you have to work in the obedience of Allah and stay away from the disobedience of Allah. وَمُرُوا أَهْلِيكُمْ بِذِكْرٍ, and command your children with remembrance of Allah. يُنْجِيكُمْ اللَّهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. If you do this, then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He will save you from the fire. We have to teach the children that which is obligatory upon them and help them to be able to apply that. Teach the children what is obligatory upon them with regards to creed and iman and tawheed first and foremost. And then likewise after that with regards to the obligations and the actions, and the most important affair of that is salah. And we have to encourage them to abide by that. And likewise we have to teach them the proper conduct for a Muslim. A Muslim, he has a conduct and manners, and the adab al-shar'iyyah. We have to teach them these manners, how to move as a Muslim daily, how to sleep as a Muslim and go to bed, yani upon the sunnah, to sleep upon the sunnah, and to wake upon the sunnah, to eat upon the sunnah, how to protect oneself from shaitan, how to protect oneself from magic, how to protect oneself from the evils of and the affairs of the unseen. We have to teach them these things. This is how we will save them or be a means to save them. Only way for them to be safe is for them to apply that knowledge. But as for the parents, then we have to take the means to teach them these affairs. Teach them these affairs. Raise them upon these affairs. And to teach them in the best manner. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would teach his family in the best manner. For example, in the manners of eating, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's seen Umar ibn Abi Salama radiallahu anhum, and he's eating and his hand is going all over the place. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not reprimand him, and he was not harsh to him, he did not belittle him, he didn't slap his hand. Some people, may Allah rectify our affairs, they see their child eating with the left hand, they slap his hand, they smack his hand, eat with your right hand, smacking his hand, talking bad to him, I thought I told you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ya gulam, young boy, سَمِّ اللَّهِ وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ وَكُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ. Young boy, mention the name of Allah. Say Bismillah. Eat with your right hand. Eat with your right hand and eat from that which is near to you. This man, this young boy, he learned in that manner. After that, he said, I never stopped eating like that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught the people in a good manner. They love to follow him. If we teach our children in a good manner and they see us applying that likewise and we show them the good way, whenever we remind them, we teach them and discipline them in a good way with kindness and gentleness and we want khair for them and goodness for them and they see that from us, inshallah, they will follow that way. Inshallah, they will follow that way. From the things that is most important for us to do is to raise them from the very first day upon at-tawheed, upon obedience to Allah, upon obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clarifying the halal and the haram to them even before they are held accountable. Even before they are held accountable, many of the believers, they will allow their children to do things that are haram and they'll use an excuse and they say, oh, he's not even held accountable yet. He's not even held accountable yet. This is not permissible. The child is not held accountable, but the parent is. The child is not held accountable, but the parent is. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this, and he says, وَالصَّبِيُّ وَإِن لَمْ يَكُن مُكَلَّفًا فَوَلِيُّهُ مُكَلَّفٌ. That the young boy or the young child, even if it's not held responsible, then verily his guardian is held responsible. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ تَمْكِينُهُ مِنَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. And it's not allowed for him, it's not permissible for him, it's not halal for him to allow those under his care to do the haram. فَإِنَّهُ يَعْتَادُهُ وَيَعْصُرُ فِطَامُهُ عَنْهُ. Because he will become accustomed to that. And it will be hard for him to stop doing that. So therefore, from the very, very beginning, whenever the child is in the store and goes down the toy aisle, for example, and it sees all these toys, and it wants this one toy, and that toy, it has images on it that are impermissible, you have to tell him no. You have to tell him, no, this one is impermissible. But you don't just leave it like this. Whether you tell him no in a good manner, or no, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade images. Or whether this right here, this one has shirk in it. And you clarify that to them. And the reason why we can't have it, because Allah, He does not love it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not love this toy. And then you buy him another toy. And even some of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that, for example, in our days, we're overwhelmed with impermissible toys or impermissible any items and things like this. So therefore, what is permissible, you give them a little bit extra. No, you can't have that toy. That toy right there is haram. Allah does not love that toy. This toy and this toy and this toy, all of these are permissible. Take one of each. Like this, and you open it up for him so he doesn't feel tight. So he doesn't feel like everything is haram. What is permissible for them, you allow. Alhamdulillah, you be a little bit light with that. But what is haram, you say, no, from the very beginning, even whenever he is a child, even whenever before he's held accountable, they learn these toys are haram. These games are haram. These games are not pleasing to Allah. If I do these things, Allah will be mad at me. Allah will be angry with me. If I do these things, these are from the actions that lead to the hellfire. We have to protect ourselves from the fire. We have to raise them upon that from the very beginning. In order to do that, my noble brothers and sisters, we have to raise ourselves. We have to raise ourselves upon that. We have to first be upon that. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, فَإِنَّ الصَّبِيُّ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مُكَلِّفًا فَإِنَّهُ يَسْتَعِدُ لِلتَّكْلِيفِ. Because the young child, even if it's not held accountable, it's getting ready to be held accountable. The child is getting ready to be held accountable. Very soon it's going to be held accountable. He's not going to be a child forever. Inshallah, if he lives, then he's going to become old. That's the sunnah of Allah. The children become old. If they live, they're going to get older. He's going to be held accountable sooner or later. And if he's accustomed, whenever he's young, to holding fast to that which is halal, and he is aware of these affairs, there's halal, there's haram, there's good, there's bad, there's permissible, impermissible. There's the love of Allah, and there's the anger of Allah. There's Jannah, and there's Nar. All of these things, al-Iman, the day of judgment, death is coming. All of this, the usul of Iman, the household has to be based upon these. In this manner, a believer, he can save himself and his family from a fire. We have to remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that every single child, he's born upon the fitrah. كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. Every child, he's born upon the fitrah, to accept the tawheed, to believe in Allah, that he's the only one that's worthy of worship. His heart is ready for that. His heart and his mind is ready to accept that, and this is what he's upon. But what happens to him? فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِدَانِهِ وَيُنَسِرَانِهِ. But his parents, they'll turn him into a Jew, or his parents will turn him into a Christian. And in our days, even if his parents don't do that, then who will do it? His society will. And his teacher will. Some people, they leave their child to go to the teachers who are Christians. What does he do? What does that teacher do? How we do? Who are you? Yunasiru. He is the one that's going to turn him into a Christian. Many of us, we complain about our children and how they act, but we're the ones who put them in the hands of those people. Why does my child have his hair like that? Or why does he dress like that? Because he's in the hands of those people and lives with them. Or he's staying with them, and he's going and spending hours and hours from his day with them. In the public school, my noble brothers and sisters, there are very, very, very bad things. There are very, very, very bad things. People in a public school, they come from every direction. They get bussed there. They get bussed there. They come from buses from this neighborhood and that neighborhood. There's people who are rich, and there's people who are poor. There's gang members. There's drug deals there. There's all types of things. There's groups there, and there's cliques there. And then we have this one strange Muslim. He just wants to fit in. What's going to happen to him? He's going to get overcome. You're putting him in this environment. Nobody likes him. Nobody. He's already, especially if he's from another country and he looks a bit different from his skin and the likes like this, already it's going to be very hard for him. How is he going to save yourself from the fire? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. We have to take the means. We have to help him save himself from the fire. Protect him from that. Keep him close to you. Keep them close to you. Keep them close to you. Do not let them go into the hands of those people to raise them. This is something that's very important. So many bad things, and I'm telling you from experience. My whole life, I didn't go. My whole time I go to school, I'm not a Muslim. So I know what it's like, and I know what's happening there. And it's not a good place for a believer. It's not a good place for a believer. So many things that are displeasing to Allah, they happen in the public school. Even between the Muslims themselves, they get tried. They get tried in the public schools. Keep them close to you. Keep them close to you. But one thing that the parents, they should always remember, and we close with this, and is that they should make dua for their child always. That they should always continue to make dua for their child. Even if they see that their child is disobedient, they see that their child is following the bad ways, never make dua against them. Never curse them. Never talk bad to them. And just make dua for them. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he lost his eyesight, rahimahullah ta'ala, whenever he was a child. His mother continued to make dua for him and to cry to Allah and to beg Allah to return his eyesight, and his eyesight was returned. He went blind. This is mentioned in his biography. Rahimahullah, but his mother continued to make dua for him and supplicate for him until it's mentioned that Ibrahim alayhi salam came to her in her dream and gave her glad tidings that her son's eyesight was returned because of her tears that she cried for the sake of Allah azza wa jal, begging him. And she woke up and she went to find that her son's eyesight had returned. So the point here is that a believer will always continue to make dua for the child. Oh Allah, guide my son. Oh Allah, guide my daughter. And you always make the tongue used to making dua for them. Even when one gets mad at them, Allah yahdik, never make dua against them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ثَلَاثُ دَعَوَاتٍ مُسْتَجَابَاتٍ لَا شَكَّ فِيهِنَّ. That there are three supplications that are accepted, no doubt about them. From them, دَعْوَةُ الْوَالِدِ لِوَالِدِهِ. The supplication of the parent for its child. In one wording, عَلَى وَالِدِهِ. عَلَى وَالِدِهِ. The supplication for the parent against his child. So sometimes a parent will make dua against the child. This is a calamity. Some of the people came to Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala, to ask him about and complain about his son. He said, did you make dua against him? He said, yes. He said, أنت الذي أفسدته. You're the one who corrupted him. You're the one who corrupted him. Likewise, in the examples of the Salaf, Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was having a hard time raising his son Ali. Fudayl ibn Iyad, he's known as Abu Ali. He's having trouble raising his son. He made dua. He said, oh Allah, Allahumma, I'm not able to discipline Ali. I'm not able to discipline. I'm tried and not able to. فَأَدِبْهُ لِي. Discipline him for me. And this man, he became from the most righteous of the people. Yani submit to Allah Azza wa Jal. Call on Him with sincerity. Cry to Him and beg Him, guide my child. We should be afraid for our children. We should be afraid before that for our souls, but likewise we should be afraid for our children. This is a prophetic methodology. وَجَنُوبِنِي وَبَنِيَ نَعْبُدُ الْأَسْنَامِ. And save me and my children from worshipping idols. They were Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was afraid for his children. He was afraid for his. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. They would, what are you going to worship after me? That we have to clarify for them at Tawheed. We have to clarify for them at Hanifiyya, the proper deen, the proper way. And then make dua for them and do whatever we can to help them. From that is that we have to give them our time. Something that is very valuable to a child is time. Whenever we sit down with our children, sometimes teaching them, sometimes just asking them, whenever they want to talk to us, we listen to them, we give them time. Something for a child that's very, very important, very priceless for them, that they remember, is that whenever we give them time. Something we should not do likewise is sometimes the parent maybe is irritated, or the parent is busy, and the child will come and want to be clingy, or want and have something important, or is very excited about something, and the parent is not really excited about it. We should pretend that we're excited, and we should not shove them away whenever they're clingy. Sometimes they'll be clingy, they want to hold on, but we should not shove them away. Because we should be afraid that there will come a day that they do not want to come to us. Because many of the children, they have grown up and they have left their parents. They have grown up and they have left their parents. And they have left their deen. And this is something that we should be afraid of. We should be afraid for our children. Because if they leave us because of our religion, then that means that they're not going to be from the people of paradise. We have to care for them. We have to show concern for them. We have to help them and be their friend and talk to them. We have to give them time. We take them on a trip. Take them here and there. Take them to do something and fun for them. Laugh with them. Joke with them. Be their companions in this manner. But be serious with them. And do not help them to do sin. And from the best means is to be a good role model. Likewise, from the advices is that we should teach them the adhkar. Teach them the adhkar, something good from the adhkar, little by little, in the morning and the evening, after the salat, before they sleep, when they wake up. Teaching them the little and the short ones, little by little. This is very important. Teach them the adhkar. Teach them how the meanings of the adhkar and how to ponder over them. And with that, we close and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to pardon us and to rectify our affairs and to help us save ourselves from the fire and to help us save our families. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.